Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mahanagar Gas Limited third quarter FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines are in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Zico. Very good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome all the participants as well as the management of Mahanagar Gas, represented by Mr. Atul Singhal, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Patel, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rajesh Wagle, Senior Vice President, Marketing. I'd like to request Mr. Atul Singhal to provide a brief, and then we can move on to the Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Varatharajan. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion that may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that the expectations contained in the statements are reasonable. However, these statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. The risks and the uncertainties related to these statements include, but are not limited to, fluctuations in sales volume, fluctuation in foreign exchange, other costs, and our ability to manage growth. I urge you to consider that quarterly numbers are not a reflection of long-term trends or an indication of full-year results. They should not be attempted to be extrapolated or interpolated into a full-year number. Thank you, and over to you, sir, for your opening remarks.
Thank you, Ranjan. I'm Atul Singhal, Managing Director, Mahanagar Gas Limited. A very good afternoon to all of you joined through the call. I once again welcome you all on this third Q3 of the financial year 2022-23. I would like to thank all of you for attending our today's earnings call. Due to continuing geographical situation and supply shortages across the world with respect to the natural gas, third quarter of this financial year also remained challenging for MGL and the entire CGD industry because of the high gas input which we all have faced during the quarter. As per the domestic gas pricing policy, the price of domestic gas for the period of October 22 to March 23 is around $8.57 per MMBTU, which is around 40% higher than the previous half year, that is April 22 to September 22. The present pool gas allocation, that is pooling of APM, CBG and HPHT gas, is approximately 91% of CGD requirement of the total priority sector, which has marginally reduced compared to the previous quarter. Now, gas allocation shall be revised on quarterly basis depending upon the total domestic gas available for the CGD sector. One of the good developments is that Kiri Parikh Committee has recommended deregulation of India's administrative prices for the natural gas by 2027, and they have announced floor and ceiling rates and several other reforms which is aimed at boosting the investments in the cleaner fuel. The panel suggested for linking of APM gas of ONGC and oil with import price of Indian crude basket, which is a deviation from the existing policy. Further, in order to bring balance between producers and consumers, dynamic ceiling of $6.5 per MMBTU and an increment of $0.5 per MMBTU every year for the next 5 years and a floor price of $4 per MMBTU is also proposed in the report. The recommendation is under review by ministry and it is expected that by end of this financial year, they will come up with the revised natural gas pricing notification. And they may be slightly earlier than that also. Recently, Ministry has also notified that HPHT, that is high pressure, high temperature areas, gas will be allocated to CGD entities for domestic gas, PNG and CNG consumption on priority. And that means that the priority will be first given to CGD, followed by fertilizer, LPG and power. This is a good action of Government of India which helps CGD entities in replacing costlier LNG, RLNG, which is being used in CNG and domestic PNG segments with HPHT gas. because HPHT gas is much cheaper as compared to the spot gases. This will help in reducing overall gas cost of the CGD entities, which also reduces the CNG and deep PNG prices, which will further boost consumption in CGD sector. MGL continues to create CGD infrastructure across its business segments in the licensed areas. During the quarter, 87,845 domestic households were connected, and thus we have established connectivity for nearly 2.08 million households. We have laid 82.36 kilometers of steel and PE pipeline, thereby taking the aggregated pipeline length to over 6,407 kilometers. We have also added 5 new CNG stations, and with this we have a 301 CNG stations as of the end of quarter. We have also added 82 industrial and commercial customers along during the quarter, and thus on the quarter end we have 4,465 industrial and commercial customers. In respect of our new Raigad geographical area, we have connected to 63,509 domestic households, and 24 CNG stations are currently operational. During this quarter, we laid 8 kilometers of pipeline in Raigad, thereby taking the total length of pipelines to 373 kilometers. This expansion of our pipeline network has created a very good ecosystem for CNG, PNG in the Raigad area. The first CGS and first mother filling station in Sabroli in GA3, that is Raigad, is near Kapoli, is technically ready, and we are awaiting some statutory approvals to commence the commercial operations. This will enable expeditious unlocking of the demand in the Raigad area. Coming to MGL's operations, average gas sales for the 9 months ending December 31, 2022 is 3.439 million standard cubic meter per day, whereas it was 2.944 MMSCMD in the corresponding period last year, an increase of 16.8%. Sales volumes in case of CNG has also increased from 2.061 million standard cubic meter per day to 2.518 MMSCMD, which is an increase of 22.21%. In case of industrial and commercial sales, volumes have increased from 0.419 MMSCMD to 0.441, which is an increase of 5.3%. The sales volume for domestic CNG has also increased from 0.464 MMSCMD to 0.48, which is an increase of 3.37%. During this quarter, overall average gas sales volume growth was flat at 3.412 MMSCMD as compared to previous quarter's volume of 3.459 MMSCMD. Sales volume in the case of CNG is at 2.474 MMSCMD as compared to previous quarter of 2.541. In the case of industrial and commercial, sales volume is at 0.439 MMSCMD as compared to previous quarter of 0.447. Sales for domestic PNG is 0.449 as against previous quarter of 0.471. The current 9-month quarter EBITDA is ₹794 crore compared to previous year's 9-month EBITDA of ₹709 crore. The current quarter's EBITDA is ₹256 crore as compared to previous quarter's EBITDA of ₹253 crore. Net profit after tax for the 9 months is ₹521 crore compared to the net profit after tax for the previous year's 9 months of ₹465 crore. Net profit after tax or PAT is ₹172 crore for the quarter as compared to ₹164 crore in the previous quarter. I'm also happy to announce that the Board of Directors has approved an interim dividend of ₹10 per equity share for the current financial year 22-23. With this, I would like to conclude my opening remarks and open the floor to the questions. I will hand over to the operator, please.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this stage, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. The first question that we have The first question we have is from Yogesh Patel from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, my question is related to your PNG industrial and the commercial volume. Could you please provide the volume breakup of 0.44 MMSCMD? How much PNG industrial and how much is the PNG commercial?
You are talking about this quarter volume, right?
Current quarter, yeah, sir. Q3, FY23.
Total PNG volume, including domestic, of 0.499 MMSCMD. And industrial plus commercial is 0.439. Okay. And
so,
sorry?
So, sir, I am asking you a breakup between the PNG commercial. How much was the PNG industrial and how much was the PNG commercial? If we get it, that would be really helpful.
Industrial was about 0.315. And commercial would be about 0.121.
Okay.
0.318 is industrial.
Yeah.
Not 315.
Okay.
I would like to add, you know, generally these categories may keep on changing depending on the customer side requirement and sometimes. So it's not very, important to have a breakup. Because many a times and in the last few months, there has been a lot of change. So they are not comparable with the earlier period numbers. Okay, that's what I just wanted to make a, please note of, take a note of that. Hello.
Thank you, sir. The next question we have is from Prabhulsen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
We can't hear you, Prabhul.
If you can hear us, please can you come through to the next? Please can you come back into the question line? Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one now. Trouble, if you could go ahead, sir.
He's not able to close.
I think we are not able to. Robin, we still can't hear you.
Not a problem. The next question we have is from Sumaya V from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Madam, there is no voice coming up, is it?
Is this some problem at your end?
Zico, there seems to be a problem at our end because, like, you know, management, me and you seem to be in a room. The other guys don't seem to be hearing us and we are not able to hear them. Can you just check?
So we are able to hear your voice.
He's talking.
Yes, sir. There's the three of us who seem to be, like, connected.
Okay. So the participant's voice is not coming at all.
Yeah, participant voice is not coming. Zico, please check.
Of course. The next question we have is from Subhash Naik from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Subhash, we can hear you.
Sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, could you please give me the number for conversion of vehicles for the quarter?
Yeah. Total vehicles during the quarter is roughly 16,900.
16,900?
Yeah.
And from the LCV?
LCV number is roughly 1,700 plus.
1700 plus.
Yeah.
Right.
Taxis and cars roughly 12,200. 2,900 is around three wheelers.
Mm-hmm.
And some small amount of trucks are there, around 33 trucks. These are the numbers.
Around 33 trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And my second question was, could you please give some thing about CNG differentials between petrol?
Currently, CNG is a 40%+ discount to petrol.
Okay. 40?
It should be about 45.
Okay.
And against diesel, it's about 9% now.
Okay. Okay.
This is after factoring in the recent 2.5 rupee price decrease which we took.
And also the better mileage of CNG over petrol.
Yes, right, right. Okay. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question we have is from Avilasha Sitale from Quantum AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So I just want to understand your sourcing mix in terms of APM, HDAP, and how much would be your spot sourcing. And if Kirit Fire Committee recommendation is implemented, then what will be the impact on our sourcing costs?
Yeah. As far as you know, I think MD covered in his opening remarks. Last quarter, roughly, we have got around 90-91% APM gas. Okay. And rest was through spot and other sources, which we have used for catering to CNG and domestic. As far as industrial and commercial is concerned, we have our term contracts in place through which we have been catering to. Coming to the, if Parikh committee report is implemented as it is, I think the committee has suggested cap of $6.5 for the coming financial, immediately, with and floor of $4. So compared to the current price of APM, which is $8.57 per MMBTU, there is likely to be decrease of $2 per MMBTU. Okay. Having said that, already there is a new notification by ministry whereby HPHT allocation priority has been given to CGD. Okay. So some amount of HPHT gas will be available, and we are already using HPHT gas through exchange in this current month. Okay. So both these have given us advantage in terms of cost compared to the existing cost. So HPHT is already being used, and once Kirit Parikh committee, mostly if by this year end or 1st April if it is implemented, will also give an advantage of better costs going forward.
So currently how much is the HPHT sourcing? In that 9-10%, how much will be HPHT?
This is in the range of around 0.27 to 2.75.
Around 0.3 MMSCMD, we can say.
Okay. Okay, sure. And regarding our CAPEX plan, how much we have spent till date, and how much we are likely to spend in FY24-25?
Up to December, we have almost spent around 460-475 crores. Okay. And we look forward to another 200 crore, we may end around 650 crore by this year end. That's our estimate. Of course, depending on the available permissions and other things, we should be in a position to touch figure of 650 crores on this year end up to by March 23.
Yeah, and even 24, we have similar plan of spending.
Yeah, in fact, for next year, we have budgeted for a higher number, and it should be in this range between 600 to 800 crores if all the permissions, availability of land, and other things are in place. Yes.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question we have is from Prabhu Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible now, sir?
Yeah, yeah. You are.
All right, thank you. Sir, this was first question was with respect to this HPHT areas being putting CGD on priority. Just wanted to understand, sir, since the HPHT gas sales happen on a bidding process, how will this priority actually work? You know, whether the, I mean, on bidding prices remaining the same, CGD will be allocated the gas, or how will it exactly work, sir? Just wanted your sense of it.
When it's purchased from the exchange, what is being done is the exchange only opens bidding up for CGD companies first for that volume. Typically, what has been observed is everybody bids at the ceiling.
Right.
And since other buyers are not there, whoever CGD has put in his requirement for priority, he gets that full volume. Only after that, if any other volume of HPHT is remaining, then the next second priority
fertilizer comes followed by LPG and then
it goes in that order. This is on the exchange. Now, how this Reliance gas bidding will happen? That
yeah, actually, just to add to what Rajesh Wagle has said, that Reliance has come out with a 6 million auction, but they withdrew that auction at the last moment.
Right.
I think this development which government issued the order. So what we expect that as and when Reliance or ONGC will come out with their next auction, they will follow the guidelines of the government of India that whenever everything is at par, then the first priority will be given to CGD, followed by fertilizer, followed by LPG, and then followed by power. So that means that whosoever CGD companies are eligible for the priority sector, they will be able to take as much quantity as is required, depending on and expecting that Reliance and ONGC is expected to come out with good amount of gas, and that much of growth is not expected to come in CGD companies. So 10% volume which is balanced and which is currently being used from long-term or other spot gases will be substituted by HPHT for almost all the CGD companies. Once that is exhausted, then it will go to fertilizer and LPG and then power.
Okay. So the second question, if we can get a sense, how much of spot LNG was consumed by us in total, sir, in Q3, including for priority as well as industrial and commercial segment?
It has been ranging, you know, from 0.27 to 0.35, depending on the peak requirement.
He's asking about spot.
But now with HPHT, that quantum is coming down in the current month.
So balance basically shortfall between, let's say, what we are getting from ACM and adding this 0.3, 0.35 spot, the other is basically on some sort of term contract that we have, plus the HPHT that we are also getting from the exchange. Is that the correct way to look at it?
Yes.
No, HPHT perhaps will not be able to allocate to industry and commercials. And mostly HPHT will be consumed in priority sector, that is domestic CNG and CNG. Once that is exhausted, then the balance will be consumed by fertilizer. So I don't think industrial and commercial will be able to consume HPHT.
Yeah, you know, sir, I was just trying to clarify that for us as a company, we mentioned earlier that we bought about 0.27 from the gas exchange, HPHT gas, this quarter, and we are consuming 0.35 of spot LNG.
No,
and 91%, is that correct?
For Q2, we were consuming almost 0.27 to 0.35 spot, okay? But now with HPHT coming, see, this circular has come on 14th of January. Okay.
Uh-huh.
After that, HPHT has almost maximum quantity replaced, except if there is anything required for industrial and commercial, for our own requirement. Suppose my term contract is not sufficient, for that I will still have to buy spot RLNG. That's what MD is saying.
Yeah, and just to add, from 1st February, we have started taking HPHT, which was auctioned at the IGX, that is exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Reliance had some gas and that was not being auctioned in as per their e-bidding platform, so they have given it to IGX, and from there we are taking HPHT gas. It was open only to CGD companies.
Got it. Second question was with respect to volume guidance. We have obviously earlier also mentioned the guidance of somewhere, I think, between 5 to 6% sustainably. This year, obviously, the base was different, so the numbers are sharper. So for FY24, on this kind of a base, should we still building somewhere around 5 to 6% volume growth, or should it be higher because the gas costs are likely to moderate a bit? Just wanted your thoughts on that.
The 5 to 6% guidance which we give, let me again say, it is, we always said it is a 5-year CAGR number. It is not that every quarter or every year, you know, it's maybe 5 to 6. Some, it could be 8-10% in some quarter or a year. It could be 2% in another quarter or a year. So it's very difficult to predict, you know, consumption pattern of, you know, so many customers very accurately.
But just one thing is there, if Kirisari comes up and the prices are reduced, then it is expected that the volumes will grow in the next financial year. Otherwise, as expected in the last year, maybe 5% is a fair estimate to consider the growth.
Got it. So 5% upside risk if the case party committee recommendations are accepted in full. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yeah. Just to add to that, especially for, if you look at, you know, 23-24, since we said that, you know, our city gate station in GA3, Chevrolet is also connected, so we will be immediately able to connect some of the industrial commercial road in that area, and most of the stations out of 24 are daughter booster, and we will start slowly laying the pipelines and convert them to online station. So almost whichever station we are able to, you know, connect through pipeline from present, you know, gas getting transported through LCVs, the sale will almost double from, you know, an average of 3,000, 4,000 to, let's say, 6,000 to 8,000 kgs a day. So, especially in Raigarh, we will see a very good growth in the next year, be it CNG or be it industrial and commercial. Okay. And we are seeing good growth in GA2 as well as GA1. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. Participants are reminded that you are limited to 2 questions at a time. The next question we have is from Amit Rastogi from UBS. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. Sir, I would like to understand that we had long-term contracts from GAIL. So how much we are getting under those contracts? What are the terms there? And are we seeing this risk of, you know, HPHT being given to us now when it is going to be decontrolled maybe in by end of 2025? So how are we seeing that situation?
Okay, coming to first answer your question on contract with GAIL on Henry Hub. Currently, we are getting gas at supply or pay level, not the full contracted quantity. Okay. With respect to
25 is still very far off. First of all, the Kiripari committee recommendations have still not been accepted, and we don't know whether there would be some changes or there may not be some changes. And even if it is accepted as what is recommended by the committee, 2 years on, we don't know what will be the gas prices in spot market or the term contracts or the crude prices, and also so many other factors. So we can only wait and watch about what are the, there may be some more changes when 2025 approaches.
Okay, and so what about the current contract with GAIL, like you are getting at supplier pay level, do you see that going up anytime soon in 2023 and 24? Because what we hear from GAIL is they're going to bring entire volume of US gas to India in 2023 itself.
So actually GAIL is trying to, I mean, whatever we hear from different sources, that they're trying to source gas. One of their major supplier has defaulted in this last few months. So if that is happening, and also if the gap between spot and the term prices are reduced, and which is the trend which we have seen in last few months, that the spot gas which was being traded at maybe $35 per MMBTU has come down to $18 per MMBTU. And going forward, since the winters in Europe has also been quite moderate, we expect that the prices will soften up and there will be enough supply of gas. In that case, I mean, we don't know what the GAIL is going to do after a few months, but general expectation is that they will increase their supplies from supply or pay level.
Okay. And sir, my second question relates to the new initiatives. So over past 3 to 4 years, we have been hearing a lot of new initiatives taken by us. But when we look at the volumes, when we talk about have they been implemented, actually we don't see anything on the ground. Like we have been talking about, you know, buses, this long distance buses getting converted into CNG. We have been hearing about, you know, port trust converting their vehicles into that. We have been hearing about LNG, CNG conversion, those kind of stations, but or upgradation of our own stations. But when we are seeing the volume per you know, station, that is being on a consistent decline now. So what are we doing about addressing the long-term growth, and when do you see any of these things will start to pay you know, us any benefit, or they just remain like an initiative on papers?
Amit, you know, you need to look at these initiatives in context. If you look at the last 6 months or a year, it has been a difficult time for the whole industry, you know, with the gas prices being where they are, etc. So, you know, long distance CNG or port trust or anybody going for LNG for that matter, the timing is not really appropriate. But these are, you know, long-term initiatives which will drive value in the long run for us. So currently, CNG is primarily seen as a, you know, local kind of a fuel for, you know, intra-city or that kind of transportation. But there is a huge amount of value lying in intra-city or long-distance travel, which we are trying in our own way to get. Now, as far as actual movement on the ground, one positive I can tell you is MSRTC has gone ahead with an awarded conversion of 800 of their diesel buses to CNG. And out of those, about 600-700 are going to come in our GAs. They have already given us 7 depots, and we have signed lease agreements with them to take land in their depots to set up infrastructure. Now, all this will fructify over the next, you know, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, etc. And our belief is that, you know, in the medium to long term, CNG and natural gas will be competitive vis-a-vis alternate fuels. And that volume growth will come. Only thing is, the last 6 months, 1 year, etc., needs to be seen as a, I mean, as an exception. So on the LNG part, I can add is our LNG dispensing facility for the liquid at in Raigarh, at a place called Savroli, that's near the Khalapur toll naka on the expressway. That is now mechanically completed and ready for commissioning. We are just awaiting a few, I think one last statutory permission or something, and we'll be able to commission that. So we will be having the ability to dispense liquid LNG also. The last point regarding, you know, upgradation of stations, we have been upgrading a good amount of stations every year, and they bring us value. But typically, we would see a spurt in the throughput of that station once we upgraded it by, you know, either by replacing a old compressor with a higher capacity new compressor and maybe adding a dispenser or two if there is space there. That partially mitigates the challenge which we have on, you know, getting new parcels of land in a city like Mumbai. It's really difficult to get new parcels of land. So whatever you currently have, we're trying to maximize it through these upgradations.
Thank you, Joe. The next question we have is from Pinakin Parekh from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So my first question is on the government notification regarding the reservation of the high pressure feed for CGD.
Now, sir, it seems that this is reversing a campaign. This
clear.
Sure. Sir, just trying to understand the decision by the recent government notification of the gas for the CNG field. This seems to reverse a Government of India cabinet decision of October 2020, which had given marketing freedom to the gas producers in the high pressure fields, and basically it said that even the affiliates could bid for it. So I'm just trying to understand, sir, that how should we read this? Because this is not a cabinet decision, and it reverses a previous cabinet decision. So is it something which is could be in limbo for some period of time being implemented?
I think the answer to that, government is in the best position to give, but what we are seeing on the ground is, yes, in the auction which happened in the beginning of this month, the CGD got first priority in, in the auctioning of that HPHT gas. Look, effectively, okay, for the seller or the producer, there is no difference. What was initially happening was everybody was bidding at the ceiling, and because the volumes were limited, everybody was getting, maybe 2% or 5% of whatever volume they had quoted. So the seller will end up selling if he had
Very high number of buyers, okay. Almost. Whereas current mechanism, now the buyer's number will reduce and it will help even the producers.
And it will, help the, it will reduce the seller's overheads also. They won't have to deal with, hundreds of customers.
Financially, it was going at the same price, which is the ceiling of HPHT. So the suppliers are not losing in that respect.
Yes, but basically the suppliers will be losing if their affiliates were bidding for it. And so now in this scenario, the affiliates do not have a system of auctioning.
Yeah, but that is their internal matter. It doesn't impact us as a CGD company. What it brings out is that because some of that gas was being resold in the exchange, that was the concern of the ministry, that if a gas which is being sold at a cap price should not go to the non-priority sector. And that's the correction which the government has done by bringing in that the first HPHT gas, if it is being sold on the ceiling, should go to the priority sector. And that's a very well appreciated step by the Government of India.
Sure, sir. So my second question is that, so IGL in last week's call highlighted that the supply of CNG is at 20 MMSCMD and going forward it will not increase, and hence any incremental volume growth for the CNG would have to rely on non-APM gas. Now, the government has basically to an extent reserved CNG in the high pressure fields. So going forward, sir, is it fair to say that the incremental growth will not be from APM gas, and there is also a risk that if the government is now effectively potentially migrating CNG from an APM gas structure to the high pressure gas structure, if the first priority is being given over there?
No. I think there is two things which are getting mixed up. First, that APM gas is whatever quantity is there, the efforts are being made by ONGC to increase it also, although we can't say whether it will increase or stagnate or come down. So whatever APM gas is being consumed mostly into the priority sector, there are certain unconnected pipelines which cannot be connected. So therefore, that gas is being sold to some other sector. So basically, APM gas is allocated to CGD, fertilizer, and some power company. Now, as and when CGD consumption grows up, and if APM doesn't grow up, that means earlier it was that the allocation was coming down to each CGD company. Now, to arrest that, the new HPHT gas, which is going to be sufficiently available to meet whatever growth is expected from the CGD company. So your assumption is right. One, that we don't know what will be the future of APM gas. And it is fair to expect that not much APM gas will be allocated to the priority sector, except that the efforts are being made by other companies to connect unconnected fields to the main grid. If that happens, then more APM quantity will be available for CGD allocation. So there are efforts being made to connect some isolated fields to the main grid, and that will bring some more gas to APM. The second part is that even HPHT has got a ceiling, which is a evolving formula, and it keeps, which is a fair formula, and it will be giving a fair prices going forward.
Thank you, Shah. The next question we have is from S. Ramesh from Nawal Bank Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. So the first part is in terms of your depreciation as far as 9 months, is it fair to assume that you capitalized something of the order of 800 crores, and how would this capitalization help in terms of generating further revenue and profits, say, over the next 1 or 2 years?
So, no, whatever new CNG stations you are seeing, and so we have commissioned those, and capex about that has been added, and it starts immediately giving incremental volumes, or at least the compression capacity is available, and depending on the vehicles and the turnaround of vehicles, it will have better impact on volumes going forward. As far as some of the steel lines and medium pressure line or low pressure lines are concerned, so basically that will not immediately be able to add to volumes. As in when the customers get converted on these pipeline network, it will add slowly. So it's a long drawn process. Once a steel line or a medium pressure line is laid, immediately, you know, maybe 40-50% of the customers in a building or in that area gets hooked up, and later on that process continues over a longer period of time. Okay, so that is how this capex will help in the long run. And the city gate station, which we are likely to commission soon, awaiting for some statutory approvals, once that gets commissioned, immediately sale in the GA3 through that station, as well as the mother station, will be able to cater to the daughter booster station within that geography. So it will reduce the transportation cost, which is being currently incurred from GA2 to GA3, and will also help slowly going forward connecting few more industrial commercial customers in that region and few more daughter booster station to be converted on online. Okay, that's how it is.
So if you can share your thoughts on how much will be the cost savings on what you just mentioned, and what is the kind of incremental volume that you can expect in GA3, the Zyga, say over the next 1 or 2 years?
GA3 volume growth will be quite high next year. It should be 20% plus compared to current growth which is there, okay, current volume which is there. Okay. And as far as cost is concerned, let's say even if the distance traveled was on an average 40-50 kilometers, okay, if that gets eliminated, so cost per kg of gas transportation straight away goes away, and that depreciation takes a replacement of that cost. Okay, and depreciation is a very small amount, whereas recurring transportation cost is pretty high in these stations, which will also be a saving. And also, you know, logistics, manpower management, all that gets eliminated.
Thank you, sir. The next question we have is from Hamang Khanna from Nomura. Please go ahead. Hamang, please go ahead, sir.
Hi, I hope I'm audible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. So I just wanted to get a sense of what is our current volumes, say Jan or what we're currently doing versus 3.4 that we did in the third quarter. And the second question or continuation with that is that say we've in the month of Jan, we would have to have procured some amount of spot LNG to meet priority sector demand. But is it fair to say that from Feb onwards, we will not be having any incremental spot LNG purchases, at least for the priority sector?
No, I think some amount of spot may remain because of the, you know, to cater to the peak, we may need. So completely you can't say that no spot will be required for priority sector.
As far as volumes go, I mean, Jan also volumes we expect to be flattish because of the high selling prices which are prevailing. But hopefully now that we have started, you know, getting and giving some relief on the high prices, we are hoping volume should pick up.
And the spot will be very, very minimal just to balance requirement. Otherwise, we expect that APM plus HPHT should be able to meet the priority sector requirement.
Got that. And just to get a sense on the pricing, given the price cut that we've taken in Feb, is there any view to further bring down the pricing and improve the, you know, cost advantage versus liquid fuels?
One, we have already done that. 2.5 rupees per kg of CNG prices have been reduced with effect from 1st of February.
Right.
Next, we will have a wait and watch for Kirit Parikh committee to be accepted by the government. And as and when that comes, we'll have a relook at total cost of procurement and also what is the total cost, average weighted cost, and then we'll take a call on that.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this stage, we will be limiting participants to one question per person. The next question we have is from Kirtan Mehta from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I would wanted to sort of understand, when I look through the data, I understand that your focus of implementation of infrastructure seems to be sort of emphasized on GA2 and GA3 development. So wanted to understand in terms of the breakup, is it translating into a higher growth in GA2 particularly versus GA1, and what is currently the mix of GA1, GA2 and GA3 in your total volumes?
So let's say on an average, if you are selling around 3.5, GA1 should be contributing around, you know, 1.8 to 1.85, GA2 roughly 1.5 to 1.55. and around 0.1212 is being sold currently in GA3. Going forward, our expectation is somewhere between, you know, at least next year, GA2, we see a growth of 10% in those volumes, whereas in GA3, at least 20% plus volumes we are seeing, whereas GA1 will remain in the range of around 5% to 6%. This is, I'm talking about, immediate 1 or 2 years, okay, till GA3 and GA2 peaks out in terms of the potential available in those two geographical areas.
Yeah, with respect to your question, why we are giving more focus on GA2 and GA3, it is primarily because GA2 and GA3 are more nascent areas, where the like especially GA3, where the network is being laid. As far as GA1 is concerned, there is hardly any space for putting our CNG station. And already this steel and MDP network is very robust in GA1. Whereas in GA2, there are still some scope to increase some network and MDP line and also some CNG station. So if you see our CapEx plan for next few years, we will be focusing more on GA2 and GA3. The main constraint in GA1 is there is hardly any land which is available, and whatever area is there is already covered with a very, very integrated network of steel and PE pipelines in GA1.
Mr. Mehta, at least in GA1, most of the trunk line, that is steel pipeline, is already laid. Whatever capex we are doing as far as GA1 is concerned, it is more of a security supply kind of a thing. So we are doing multiple looping so that, you know, if there are any disruption, etc., GA1 area and the older area doesn't get affected. However, last mile connectivity and the customer conversion keeps on going, and we do incur sizable amount of capex even in GA1 for further branching, reaching out to the customers. Okay.
Thank you. The next question we have is from Malik Patel from Aquarius. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just continuing the earlier question, you mentioned that 1.8 to 1.85 comes from the GA1, and you expect around 5% growth in GA1, and GA2 you expect around 15% growth. So the GA2 growth is more driven by, as you mentioned, that there is the network is yet to be laid down. But how do you say this one along with, you know, where you haven't only part GA2 with you?
Could you repeat?
The remaining portion of the Thane district is within the Gujarat Gas. do you say that the Gujarat Gas network will enable you to grow more faster, or is it going to be get some volume from your side?
So the growth rate in GA2 is a bit higher than GA1.
Yeah.
It is relatively easier to lay infrastructure. There is more land available in GA2 for opening CNG stations. And it's a much bigger area compared to GA1. GA1 is a very mature market that way. We have been here for more than 27 years now. GA2 is relatively new. We started off in about 2005, so 18 years or so.
And what is the potential for the GA3 in 5 years? What do you see this 0.1, 0.12 heading to, what number?
GA3, our demand estimation shows about 0.6 MMSCMD is the addressable market size there.
Okay. Got it. And one more question. This recently this metro started in Mumbai. Have you seen any drop in your numbers related to the past? Because the general perception is that, once the metro starts, your congestion will come down, the traffic will come down, and the cars or the taxis will spend less time on the roads relatively to the less fuel consumption. Is that thinking right?
Look, the first metro corridor opened up quite a few years back, the Warsaw and Nehru Ghatkopar one. That didn't have any impact on our volumes. The new one has just opened a couple of weeks back, and it was inaugurated by the Prime Minister. Now, we haven't seen any material change in CNG volumes or anything for that matter, but we will watch and see what we were. Our expectation is, even with so many metro lines opening, the demand for transportation services is so high that CNG will, or even liquid fuels for that matter, will retain their share. It is just that the number of people traveling will increase.
Some of them will shift from local to metro also.
Yes. And when people see less congestion on the road, some people may bring out their CNG cars to commute also. You know, today they will not be doing that. It's taking them 2 hours to commute from home to work. So there are a lot of factors at play here. So it's not necessary that metros, you know, can potentially hit your city. I mean, look at IGL for an example. I mean, Delhi is one of the best metro networks, but IGL's volumes have been, you know, consistently growing.
So what?
Thank you, sir.
What is understood is that there is a space for almost several fuels, because the commuting will start to increase, as Mr. Rajesh mentioned.
Thank you, sir. The next question we have is from Sumaya V from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible. So the question pertains to HPHC gas. So you did mention you had 0.3 MMSCMD, close to 0.3 MMSCMD. What was the total available gas at the exchange, the addressable market that was there, that's one. And how do you see this kind of going up in the next 1 or 2 years in terms of HPHC volume available for CCDs?
I think the last bidding was for 3 MMSCMD in the exchange. Out of that, we got some 0.27 or close to 0.3. So, I mean, what I said earlier was that the CGD companies are not expected to grow demand in tandem with what the gas is expected to come from HPHC, both from Reliance and ONGC. Primarily, Reliance has earlier come up with 6 million, and there were unconfirmed news that they will come up with another tender of 6 million. So, and also there were news that ONGC will also come out with some more gas on their bidding. So what our estimate is that CGD demand growth for priority sector will be a gradual one. It cannot be a sudden thing. As of now, if we see the 10% is around 2.5 MMSCMD, if we took a level of whole all India basis. So that will be available straight away in the first bidding or second bidding round itself. So post that, once CGD companies start consuming more gas, then only HPHT will be required. So our assessment is that for NGL also, whatever shortfall is there will be met through HPHT.
Thank you, sir. The next question we have is from Nitin Tiwari from YES Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible. So my question is related to CAPEX. Can we have a breakup of the CAPEX spend in terms of GA 1, 2 and 3 and also in terms of what heads they've gone into broadly, whether the investment has been in stations or basically in the pipelines. So if we can give that sort of a breakup.
I don't have the numbers readily available. If you get in touch with me offline, I will give you these numbers.
Yeah, you can contact our CFO, Mr. Rajesh Patel, and he will be able to help you on that.
Right, sir, I'll do that. The reason I asked that, sir, and perhaps you can help me understand this better, because I suppose your CAPEX intensity would be perhaps the highest historically, and whereas, like, you know, we are not adding as many stations or kilometers in terms of pipelines. So I just wanted to understand that, I mean, 600, 700 crores of CAPEX in a year, how is that getting spent? That was my primary query. So I'll certainly take it up later. And one-on-one basis.
You have an idea?
Right.
Around, you know, for 25, 30 new stations and equal amount of upgradations, we spend around 150 to 180 crores in CNG. Okay?
Okay.
Then, let's say roughly around 300 crores odd is mainly in this medium pressure line, the last mile connectivity, GI, inside kitchen, inside customer, etc. And
it's all in GA 1 and 2, sir?
So GA 1 will have maximum of this last mile connectivity and medium pressure line, whereas steel will be minimum in GA 1. Steel will be highest in GA 2, followed by GA 3. Okay. Currently GA 3 has expenditure mainly on the CGS and the CNG stations. And next year, there will be, once this city gate station starts, we have planned to lay steel lines and also some more city gate stations we are scouting land for. So cost of land also will be there in the range of around 50-60 crores for CNG as well as new city gate stations.
Okay. I'll circle back for more details. And secondly, sir, if you can help me understand the gas sourcing completely, like, you know, once more, because I'm slightly confused over there. So you have about 91% of your priority sales as APM. I suppose you also had an allocation of 0.3 MMSCMD or of RIL's HPHT gas tank, which you had bid for. So does that, that gas gets used in priority or it gets used in INTE segment?
It is allowed to be used only in priority, that is CNG and domestic HPHT gas. Nothing is allowed to be used in industrial and commercial.
Right, sir. So if I sum up your APM allocation and that 0.3 RIL gas that you have, you would not, I think, require any spot gas. But you said that you source spot gas as well and plus HPHT gas from the exchange.
Agreed.
The
demand, you know, doesn't remain same on all days. So for peaking, you do need some amount of spot gas sometimes. So if the demand goes up suddenly, you may have to put in the spot gas. Okay. So let us say around 2.8 is available through APM and 0.3 is available through HPHT. That makes to, let's say, 3.10 or so. But suppose my demand picks up on some days to even 3.15 to 3.2, then I will have to have some tie-up for spot gas. Otherwise the stations will be starved of the gas and they will, you know, pressure will fall. Okay.
Thank you, sir. The final question that we have is from Iqbal Khan from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving this opportunity. So it's a follow-up question on the HPHT gas itself. You mentioned that around 0.3 MMSCMD HPHT gas allocation was done in the previous quarter, right? By the Q3.
February.
Okay. In the previous quarter, was there any allocation of HPHT gas? I mean, I got a little confused over here.
It might be very small amount through APM only. We did have one HPHT RIL gas, which is a term contract of around 0.1 MMSCMD, but we did not have anything what has come under the new guidelines of Government of India.
All right. So my understanding is 0.3 MMSCMD is from 1st February for 2023, right?
That's right. Right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions. I would now like to hand the call back over to Mr. Varatharajan for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Zico. It was a pleasure having you all on this call, and thanks a lot to the management for giving us this opportunity to host it. This closes the call. Have a nice day. Unless Mr. Rajesh Patel, if you have anything to add.
Nothing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And if any investor has any more further questions, they can contact directly. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice day.